$1,000. This candidate got him elected. And then when State Farm's appeal of this billion-dollar judgment gets to the Supreme Court, this justice cast the vote overturning that, you know, incredibly big judgment. Another finding that really stood out was how we are seeing, potentially seeing, the use of soft-on-crime attack ads in judicial races. I mean, and how, I mean, this is a common bludgeon against candidates in races, even when the business interests are the main players. Soft on crime, weak on the death penalty. And what we've seen and what Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor has written about is that this is perhaps having an effect on judges in states around the country who are more inclined to, say, overturn jury ruling, like in a state like Alabama, and approve the death penalty, and less inclined to overturn a death penalty judgment. So judges thinking about, you know, they're going to be weak on crime, so I'm going to be tougher with death penalty.
Andy Kroll, we have to leave it there, but we're going to link to your piece. Andy Kroll is senior reporter for Mother Jones. Is Your Judge for Sale is his piece. I'll be speaking in Oslo, Norway on Saturday. Check our website at democracynow.org. For our special election coverage Tuesday night, go to Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman with Nermeen Sheikh.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is Voices from the Edge Talk Radio with our host, Joanne Hardesty. Today's guests are Kenny Pagliarantano, organizer of the second annual Million Mask March, devoted to collecting winter supplies for R2-D2. That's Right to Dream 2. Plus, we'll hear investigative reporter Greg Pallast talk about voter disenfranchisement.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Fall 2014 Portland Debtors Assembly, taking place Thursday, October 30th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Center for Intercultural Organizing in Portland. Participants will learn about the debt system, listen to personal stories on how debt affects our daily lives, connect with groups working to redefine our funding priorities, and organize. Again, that's the Fall 2014 Portland Debtors Assembly, Thursday, October 30th, 7 to 9 p.m. at the Center for Intercultural Organizing, 700 North Killingsworth Street in Portland. More information may be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is Rich, host of Radio Lost and Found. Be sure to check out the show on its new time slot. That's every second and fourth Thursday from 10 to midnight. Radio Lost and Found is a two-hour media escape of found records, tapes, found sound, internet insanity, and more. That's Radio Lost and Found every second and fourth Thursday from 10 to midnight, right here on KBOO.
Most work in the tech industry is done in small groups, with the idea being that two heads are better than one. To get the best ideas, you need diversity. However, the majority of people working in the tech industry are white, male, and fairly young. Tune in this Friday at 11 a.m. for The Digital Divide and the Talent Divide, Who Makes Up the Tech Industry? Part 3 of Startup City, How the New Tech Boom is Changing Portland.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Volunteers of America, Oregon, committed to helping 17,000 vulnerable people of all ages in our community live better lives each year. You can learn how to help by visiting the website at voaor.org. And now it's Voices from the Edge.
Good morning, good morning. I'm Joanne Hardesty, and welcome to Voices from the Edge. As you've heard, we've got a jam-packed program today, and before I jump into it, I want to let you know about an event that's taking place this Saturday, November 1st, at 3 p.m. at Maranatha Church. The community forum is entitled Race and Police Accountability, The Ferguson, Missouri Story, What Really Happened, with Reverend Robert White. He's the president of Clergy United for Peace in Ferguson. And he will be making a presentation, and we'll be doing an update on the Department of Justice settlement and lawsuit against Portland Police Bureau. And for more information, contact the Albina Ministerial Alliance.org or contact Dr. Leroy Haynes at 503-287-0261. Again, Saturday, November 1st, 3 p.m., Maranatha Church, Race and Police Accountability Forum, The Ferguson, Missouri Story, What Really Happened with Reverend Robert White. And he's the president of Clergy United for Peace in Ferguson. And so we're so thrilled that he's going to be able to be in town and talk about what's happening in Ferguson. But you don't have to go to Ferguson, Missouri to talk about police accountability, and we've done that quite a bit here. I want to now shift and welcome my guest in the studio. He's the organizer for the Portland Second Million Mass March that will take place on November 5th at 1 p.m. and Kenny Palarotano. Did I get that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Whoa, that was that. Okay, excellent. Well, welcome to the studio.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Awesome. You are very welcome. And so let's just jump in. One of the purposes of the second annual Million Mass March is to collect supplies for R2-D2. Is
yes,
that correct?
It is. Yeah.
And so why? Why are you organizing this event to collect supplies for R2-D2?
Well, R2-D2 just does a lot of good work in town, and it's just awesome to see something that is, you know, self-contained, self-organized, self-policed.
Self-governed.
Exactly. It's all people who either are houseless or mm-hmm. were and are just trying to help everybody else that's in that situation, you know, get out of it.
And thank you. And for our listeners who don't know, R2-D2 stands for Right to Dream 2. And it's a houseless community in Old Town that has done some really good work at helping people get off the street, get employment, get connected to services, et cetera, et cetera. And so this event, tell me a little bit about the event that will take place on November 5th.
So this is the second year of having this in Portland. It's a global march as well. Last year there was 477 cities in 152 countries.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, good numbers. We're just focusing on bringing together all the different activists around town. There's tons of different groups and organizations and just people doing good work, and a lot of them seem to not necessarily be aware or connected with everybody else that's doing good things.
I think I interviewed the gentleman that organized last year's event because one of my questions was, so then, you know, what happens afterwards, right? And
yeah.
I don't think they had a good answer. So know that I'm going to ask you that question before the program is over.
Okay.
And so people will be meeting at Northwest 8th and Burnside, which is Elephant Park.
Yeah.
There's going to be a rally. There's going to be a buffet at the end of the march.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. So you got to come in March before you can actually get food.
I figured it would help keep people through the march instead of slowly dissolving as we go.
Yeah, very true. And so it's open to activists, artists, farmers, parents, teachers.
Everyone.
Bring your children.
Yep.
Family-friendly event.
Absolutely.
And I understand from a recent article that I read that the police, you've been in communication with Portland Police to make sure that they understand this is a peaceful family gathering. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, last year we had a huge police presence, like 80 cops to about 300 activists.
Seems a bit over-policed.
Yeah, and they just kind of followed us along the whole day. They arrested two people for, you know, I guess one supposedly threw an egg at a cop. I didn't see that. And the other one laid down in the middle of Grand for a couple seconds.
Ah. So yeah. 80 police officers. I wonder how many of them were being paid overtime to stand and watch the event. And was it because they just thought that it was going to be violent, or did they?
I think they didn't really know what to expect. Mm-hmm. It was, they probably heard about it mostly from advertising for the global march. And there are certainly some cities that it's, you know, an angry thing. The message is kind of, hey, let's go out and smash things. And and that wasn't here, but it also wasn't like made very explicitly clear last year.
I see. But, and so let's talk about the mask, because what is the image that the mask is supposed to portray?
So that mask is supposed to be Guy Fawkes. He was an anarchist and a like pro-Catholic, I guess not really an activist. He was a, you know, the common term would be terrorist nowadays because he tried to blow something up. But he lived in 1605, I think, was when he committed it. The British government was ruled by a really strong Protestant at the time who was persecuting Catholics, and it was pretty much illegal for them to practice their faith. And so he and some friends came up with a plan to blow up the House of Lords. And one of the people who was in on the planning was like brothers with one of the lords and turned him in. So they he said that he could get him a bunch of black powder and brought him wet barrels of gunpowder just in case so it wouldn't actually do anything.
Right.
And then as soon as they went in to set him, the guards were there and arrested him. And so it's kind of one of those first false flags that we've seen where, you know, the government knows what's about to happen and they let it happen to the point that they can catch somebody red-handed.
Oh, you mean like some of the most recent terrorist trials that we've had in the United States?
Yeah, or like the gentleman here in Portland with the Christmas tree lighting.
Yes.
The FBI talked to him for years and gave him the supplies and
put them up. And yes, if you want to join the conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And so you are encouraging people to bring blankets, sleeping bags, warm clothing, non-perishable food, toiletries, backpacks, anything. Now would be a great time to be going through your house and thinking, what are the things I'm not going to need this winter?
Exactly.
That could help keep some houseless family warm and comfortable, at least as much as possible.
Yeah.
And so is there a website if people want to contact you? How do they get involved?
Just the Facebook page, really.
Okay. So you are responsive to your Facebook messages.
Yeah, I check it before and after work every day. And we've got some other organizers on there who tend to check things during the middle of the day as well.
And so, Kenny, another thing is that you want people to bring signs, musical instruments, a will to change the world. I like that.
Yeah, you know, anything that's gonna that you think is going to help make it a positive, powerful event. You know, if that's just you and your presence, then that's great. If it's, you know, some friends, or if you've got a sign with some message that you really want to, you know, let people see, if you've got literature about a project you're working on or some topic that you think people need to be more well informed about, that's great too.
And so I want to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about the mask or the bandana, right? Because there's a philosophy around like having your face covered, right? And so we never got to that point. So I can understand why some people would be a little nervous if you saw a bunch of people coming down the street with their faces covered, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's definitely understandable.
So please explain to me what's the symbolism behind
that? Well, there's a few things there. A big part of it is, you know, the age that we live in, everything you do tends to be recorded.
Yes.
And a lot of people work jobs where their boss may not be friendly to activism. They may, you know, for whatever reason, they just don't want the news or the police or anyone else to have their face, you know, connected with these sort of events.
Right.
And so the mask helps give them that protection. And then by everybody, or at least the majority of people wearing them, not only do you not stand out as, oh, that person's wearing a mask, which would then draw the ire of the police, but it's just kind of a symbol of, we're all one, you know, we're each our own person, but we're all part of one human race. And, you know, seeing those differences is a big part of the problems that we have nowadays, is seeing these like small physical differences between people.
Well, okay. I'm sold. I'm going to go to the phone line. We have a caller. And if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 503-231-8187. Good morning, Joanne. Welcome to KBOO.
Yeah, hello. I'm near 80, and there's nothing to be proud about it for me, but I just want to add a couple of things. Eric Holder, I understand, went to Ferguson, and then I hear later Eric Holder is going to resign. Is that...
That's true.
One more thing after. Does that dash you folks' hope for the future? And another thing, this morning on Channel 2 TV, I wish I could not watch, but I have to because of my life circumstances. It's not the best way. But anyway, on Channel 2 this morning, on the bottom thing that they put on the news, it says there are now 1,645 global billionaires in the world. When I hear stuff like that, if I have any hope for ever having my own house, I guess that's stupid at my age, that kind of information dashes my hope. And thank you for listening.
Thank you. I appreciate the call. So your first question was about Holder and whether that dashes hopes. And I guess my response to that would be that under Holder and Obama, there've been some crazy number, like 26 police departments who've been investigated for excessive force or racial profiling against community members. Mm-hmm. Under the Bush administration, there were zero investigations. And so, you know, so clearly, when this administration leaves, life's going to be a lot different at the White House, and especially based on the kind of issues they take on. And the second part for me, I'll just say that if you want to own a home at 80, I think you should. If you can, I think you should. I think at 80, you should be able to do whatever the heck you want to do. At least that's what I plan to do.
Absolutely. Burned it.
503-231-8187 is the number to call. And so this sounds like a you're expecting over 400 people, so you wouldn't be upset if like a couple of thousand people showed up.
That would be exciting, yeah.
And are you encouraging people to bring food? Is there a potluck?
If people want to bring food, they can. We're not pushing that at all. We've gotten well over $1,000 worth of food donated from some local restaurants and businesses.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Hundreds of pounds. Yeah.
Wonderful, wonderful. Oh, okay. So just want people to show up at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Come with a open heart and positive attitude. And
absolutely.
See what else happens. And so what's the plan after the event? Because as you said, this is an opportunity to bring activists together who may not know each other. So what are you going to do to keep it going?
Well, the big thing here is trying to get people connected to others, like individuals and groups who are doing, you know, positive work in town. And mm-hmm. so we figure everybody should be able to hear at least one speaker or talk to somebody who is working on something they're passionate about. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much trying to get everybody to work on a single thing, just trying to get people connected and, you know, link up with somebody that's working on something that they're passionate about. We've got, you know, people covering topics from like bioregionalism to, you know, we've got the Portland Socialist Alternative. We've got a group of Quakers that are going to be talking about the work that they do in the community. We've got, you know, everything. Just if they're working on making the world a better place, I've contacted them and tried to get them to come out and speak.
Wonderful. We're going to go back to the phone line. Hello, BJ. Welcome to KBOO.
Welcome. When is the Quaker meeting? I heard they have a service on Sunday, or is it Saturday?
We have no idea.
Because he was just talking about it, and I'd like to go to them because that's a very interesting group, especially after myself been in the Army so long.
I
think Dream 2. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. I was just going to say I suspect you could find it online.
Yeah, yeah.
He was just mentioning they would be presenting at the event.
Oh, at the Dream 2?
Yes.
Under the Burnside Bridge?
That's correct.
Is that going to be safe down there? I mean, how is it down there for seniors in wheelchairs and what have you?
Well, you know, the wonderful thing is we've had so many multi-generational marches, I mean, in the city of Portland that have been fine. It sounds like The organizer here, Kenny, has been working closely with the police to assure them that this is not a, you know, we hate the city march, but this is a positive march and opportunity for people to do something good for houseless folks who it's starting to be that time of year that we should be thinking about how we can help support folks who need some extra support. So sounds like it's going to be safe. And I know that people will be in walkers and wagons and bicycles. And so I would say it sounds like it's going to be a fun event. And it's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes.
Well, that's a good time. It sounds safe.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Yes, it is. Well, we live in a safe city. So as long, as long as you don't listen to the news on the TV, you would realize we live in a very safe city.
Well, the idea is to terrorize us, I think, so we feel unsafe.
But Yes, it certainly is. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I don't want to be terrorized, especially the police. They buy into that. I don't know why they do. I think they do is because it's a big separation, and when I was younger, the police were your pal.
Well, you know, I've had other people say the same thing, but I think you're right. We sell fear, right? So if I can get you to be scared of me just because I'm young or I'm black or, you know, I'm old or whatever, as long as I can just get you to be scared of me, we will never talk.
Absolutely. That's right. And the other thing about it is not to have a fear of death.
Yes. Yes.
I have no fear anymore. I was in combat. I don't have it anymore. At my age, and there was a lady, Joanne calls at 80.
Right.
She's older than I am, and she wants to have a home, a house.
Right.
The problem with that is that the high property tax here, I pay over $3,000 for a two-bedroom grass shack. I love my place because when I was in good shape, I could fix it up. But I had a big one before, and it was $6,000.
Wow.
Property taxes way high in the Portland.
I just want to say for our listeners, it's not just the property tax. It's all the measures that voters continue to pass that are added to your property tax bill. So I don't want people to get the impression that somehow the tax itself is overwhelming. I mean, we pay for police retirements out of property tax. Yeah. We pay for a whole host of things out of property. We pay for libraries. We pay for metro. We pay for open space. I mean, the list goes on and on. And so most people just, you know, you look at the whole bill and you say, darn, this bill is high. Oh, we're not doing it out of the property tax, but then you add the arts tax on top of it, and if it ends up being a street fee tax, it's just we are very taxed, but it's because we have all these taxes piled on top of each other, and then we just call it property tax, but it's so much more. But thank you. I appreciate your call. Hopefully, we will see you on November 6th. November 5th.
Is that when it is?
Yes, November 5th.
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday at 1 p.m.
But I want to go down and vote first. Now, I never received my ballot. Can I go right to down there to the...
To the elections office. Yes, you should. Yes.
That's on what street is it?
It is on Morrison and...
I've been there.
Okay, yeah, me too. I will look it up and say it for the interest of
everybody.
Yeah, everybody, right? Because yes, this is it. This is the last day to mail your ballot.
And I never received it.
I know. So you're going to go to the elections office because that's how you're going to get a ballot.
Well, I think a lot of people pull it out of the mail. So the only way I get it is go right to the election office in the next couple of days.
Yes. Well, actually, today or tomorrow. That's it.
Today, huh?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. Wow. It's coming down to the wire.
Yeah, well, I got to go down there, and that's a big deal for me to go anywhere. I'll do it at the same time I take Gracie down to get her pleas. She needs to be de-pleed.
Right. Okay. Well, that's a little too much info for me. You have a great day, okay?
That's my cat.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call, sir. Have a great day. That was getting a little bit too personal there. Since this gentleman says he has to get down to the Multnomah County Elections Office, I'm going to pull the address up for anybody else who has to get to the elections office who lives in Multnomah County. The office is located at 1040 Southeast Morrison Street, and it's right on the corner of 10th and Southeast Morrison. They're open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., so get there as soon as you can. And so in the little time that we have left, I want you to once again, who do you want to show up? What do you want them to bring? What's going to happen when they get there?
We want everybody to show up. Anybody who has any interest in making the world a better place or who has just started paying attention to the stuff that doesn't get covered on the news and is just wondering what's going on. I mean, from, you know, those who are just pissed off at the way the world is to those who are already dedicated to making it a better place. Everybody should come out. You'll get something out of it. We've got speakers. We've got a little bag of literature from different groups and stuff we'll be handing out. There's live music at the end point where we're going to have the food. We've got Love Bomb Go-Go is going to play, and Andy Harrison, another local artist from out in Beaverton.
Nice.
Yeah, it's going to be a great day, and just networking, sharing positive energy, and connecting people to, you know, organizations that they can go and give their time to.
Become a part of.
Yeah.
Well, wonderful. One of the things I really like that you said is I don't think that especially your generation just realizes how under surveillance we are.
Yeah.
And so it's exciting to me to hear a young person talk about the fact that, you know, we're being filmed, records are being developed, and you know, we've got, of course, now we've got Homeland Security, and we've got the FBI, and we've got the DOJ, and we've got regular police who act with the FBI, immigration. I mean, we've, you know, we have, in fact, in Portland police that collect license plates on vehicles. Mm. They just have machinery that sits there and all day long just collects license plates and creates these databases.
Wow.
And, you know, and when people ask, well, why? Why, you know, what it helps us solve crime. Well, you know, in the old days before 9/11, you couldn't collect information on people who were not committing crimes.
Yeah.
Today there's some fuzzy lines in there. So I'm glad that people are paying attention, and that folks like you are actually organizing people to come out and connect. And a family-friendly event, 1 p.m., yep. November 5th.
Yep. Rain or shine.
At Elephant Park. So I thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again. That's
and
awesome.
You do have a Facebook page.
Yes.
What's the title of the Facebook page?
Second Annual Million Mask March.
Excellent.
By the time you get done with Million, it'll pop up.
It'll all
Facebook.
Pop up.
Yep.
All right. Very cool. Well, thank you so much. Kenny, you have a great day.
Yeah,
and we're going to move into the next segment of the program. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
As promised, we once again have we're gonna switch the program and move into talking to Greg Palace, who is always one of my favorite guests and always is one of the most informative people I know. And the timing is perfect because we, in fact, are just moving into election season. And Greg released a report recently in regard to the upcoming election cycle, and I want to bring Greg on to have Greg tell you about that recent release. Welcome to the program, Greg Palace. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Joanne, always a pleasure. Thrilled to be back, but always bringing bad news of evil doings.
It is true. But you are one of my favorite people to hear it from. If I have to hear bad news, I am so glad I hear it from you. And I know you were chomping at the bits the last time you were on to actually talk a bit about this current investigation that you've been involved in.
Yes.
And you couldn't do it.
Right. It was 6 months of work, one of our longer, deep investigations at the Palace Investigative Fund. But for Al Jazeera America, we just issued an investigative report called Jim Crow Returns, Millions of Minority Voters Threatened by Electoral Purge. It's the most read story ever on Al Jazeera America. And last night, we played part one of the TV report on Al Jazeera America tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. That would be 6 on the left coast. We'll be doing part two of Jim Crow Returns. It is an investigation of something called Interstate Cross-Check. And, Joanne, Interstate Cross-Check is the brainchild, if you could call it that, or lack of brainchild. Certainly it's a heck of a scheme, by a guy named Chris Kobach, Secretary of State of Kansas, a Republican. He's kind of the Catherine Harris of 2014. And he's come up with, in a very, very specific manner, a little less makeup, not a lot less makeup, but he announced that there were people voting twice in two states, that there's a mass epidemic of double voters. Hmm. And in fact, and he's found them. He's got 27 states to compare their electoral, their voting records in the last elections. And he's found, and are you ready for this? That there's a list of 7 million names now. 3.5 million Americans are voting twice. That's a felony crime for which you go to prison for 2 to 10 years. It's a federal crime to vote twice in the same election. And he's found over 3 million of these ne'er-do-wells. And there's been a lot of mainstream media has covered that he's found all these double voters. Dick Morris is on Fox TV saying, here is the evidence. Obama stole the election. There's at least 1 million people voting twice.
Wow.
Until now, no reporter in America has actually looked at this list. We took months of political harassment and doggedness to get the list of the so-called criminal double voters. I've got 2 million of those names, Joanne. If you go to aljazeera.com, you can not only read the story of this list, but you can type in your name and see if you are one of these felonious double voters.
Wow.
And what it is, so we looked at the list, and believe me, if people are voting twice, they should go to prison.
Right.
But is there really a crime wave? We looked at the list, and what it is a list of overwhelmingly African-American, Hispanic, and Asian-American names. This is another hit list a la the old Catherine Harris job.
Yes.
Of naming, of targeting people of color for purge from the voter rolls. It is the biggest purge operation yet. And look, if people are voting twice, send them to jail. I'm not sympathetic. But and here's what made me suspicious. They've got 3 million names.
Right.
They claim to have their addresses, their social security numbers, all their information, and the police files with their phone numbers and everything else. Why don't they arrest them?
Right.
There hasn't been a single arrest of a single person on the current list of 7 million names. Not one. And in fact, I will say that the state of Oregon, which had joined this berserker business, quietly dropped out, and I know why.
Really?
State of Washington joined and dropped out, and they were loud about it. They said, this is not a list of felon voters. This is not a list of people voting twice. This is just a junk list of common names.
Wow.
And that's exactly what it is. We investigated. They claimed that they were using Social Security numbers right in their instructions. First of all, very few people put their Social Security numbers on their voter registration.
Right.
And if you do, put your last four numbers. If they have those numbers right in their instructions, which we got a hold of, it says that they ignore Social Security number mismatches. Ignore them. Okay? And if you, I'm actually looking at the list. You can see these lists. Either go to gregpalace.com or aljazeera.com. Here's a typical one. I'm literally just looking at a typical page out of the millions. We have the entire thing. We have 2 million names. James Dalton Long of Georgia is supposed to be the same guy as James Manly Long, the fourth of Virginia.
Whoa.
They're claiming that's the same person.
Whoa.
Okay? They are claiming Oh, here's another one in the long list. Oh, let's see. This is Phyllis Duane. John Edward Logan of Georgia is supposed to be the same exact guy as John Marston Logan of Virginia. Long Logan. These are common names. The list is rife with names like Washington, Jackson. By the way, Joanne, did you know there are 86,020 people in America named John Jackson? 86,000 of them. It's not one guy, though, who's voted 86,000 times.
Yeah,
right, right. Really, that's what they've got. It's crazy. Well, maybe it's not crazy. It's crazy like a fox because they know 55% of all Jacksons in America are
African-American. So
they know that.
Your investigation says 1 in 7 African-Americans in those 27 states are listed as suspected of the crime of voting twice?
1 in 7 African-Americans in those states.
And 1 in 8 Asian-Americans.
Yep.
And 1 in 8 Hispanic voters.
That's right. Obviously, people of color just can't stop themselves from voting over and over again.
Because we have
to cross-check.
Because we have so many options, we just want to just keep doing it over and over and over again. This
and very fast in many states at once. And so what's happening while it's so crazy, and we're laughing all the time at these lists, but on the other hand, it's also a mass theft. Remember this. For those who know Greg Palast, you know, more tend to know me from uncovering how Catherine Harris knocked off thousands of black folk in Florida before the 2000 election, calling them criminals.
Right.
And their only crime was, felons who can't vote. Their only crime was voting while black.
Right.
But it was kind of the same game where they took names of people with convictions all over America over 100 years. And if they found a John Black convicted in Ohio, if Harris found John Black convicted in Ohio, she'd find a John Black in Florida and say, well, oh, that's a criminal who can't vote. And they matched race to make sure that they overloaded. It was mostly, it was about half African-American males. They lost their vote, and we lost the president who was actually won the most votes. And that's how Bush was elected. Now they're pulling this off in Kansas, a battleground state for the Senate, in Georgia, battleground state for the Senate, North Carolina, battleground state for the Senate. They're trying to win the U.S. Senate on the basis of this trick. There's a difference, too, with Catherine Harris. I was able, she didn't know why I needed it, to get the list from Harris of the felon voters. For months, these states have resisted giving me the list because they're saying these millions of people are all suspects. They're all criminal suspects, and we don't have to release the names of criminal suspects because it's a crime to vote twice, so we don't have to tell you who we're investigating.
Oh, because there's an active investigation taking place, we don't have to release the names?
Right. So they said, oh, we're going after these double voters. But see, the thing is, I flew down to North Carolina. Because North Carolina, they're knocking off thousands of voters. But they actually hired a famous retired FBI agent, a guy named Chuck Stubert, who put John Edwards in prison and other big politicians, famous FBI agent, to go and arrest these double voters. He's got 190,000 suspects on the North Carolina list. And over 6 months, he's arrested exactly zero. And I went to his office. I said to his PR guy, because they won't let me talk to the G-man, because he's in the middle of investigating, right? I said, exactly how hard is it to get these people? You got their names, you have their addresses, you have their phone numbers, you have their social security numbers, you know where they work, you know where they live, you know where they vote, they show up to vote.
Right.
You know, they literally show up to vote, just put the handcuffs on. And I said, what's the problem? Well, they gave me, it's difficult. I said, it's difficult? I'll tell you what, let's you and I go 5 minutes walk. 5 minutes walk from one of the offices was one of these suspected double voters. They didn't realize I got the list from another state. Washington gave me the list of the North Carolina names, right?
Ah.
So I said, oh, well, yeah, I know it's all secret, but here's the list. Take a look. And so, you know, so I go over to, I knock, I get inside the closest criminal double voter, a guy named Fennell. And I said, Mr. Fennell, you voted, according to this, you've committed the crime of voting twice. here and in Raleigh and also in the state of Virginia. And he says, I swear on a stack of Bibles I didn't vote twice. I don't know if I should believe him because he's about 84 in a wheelchair, and I don't think he could lift a stack of Bibles to put his hand on them. And I said, so obviously he had a very speedy wheelchair rolling between the states.
Right.
And now here's, and I told you about the middle name.
Yes.
Mismatches. They claim that they matched middle name and Social Security number. Not one Social Security number is matched, and the other, not one. And then on middle names, over 1.5 million names on this list have a middle name mismatch. Over 1.5 million names. I went to other, I found a bunch of other of these so-called double voters. And, yeah, one guy said, well, that's my son. I mean, they ignored junior and senior. They said that, Michael Harris Jackson Jr. is the same as Michael Harris Jackson Sr. That's the one person who voted twice. Now, in the old days, that we used to think of junior and senior's father and son. Instead, they basically knock off two generations of voters. This is a game that's being played. And like I said, no American journalist has been hundreds of articles on this cross-check program, getting rid of the double voters. It's been this vote fraud hysteria all over Fox News. These politicians are running around saying there's double voters. That's how the Democrats are stealing the election, the elections. But no one has actually gotten the lists until we did just now. And like I say, go to aljazeera.com, and in the middle, it's a pretty long article I wrote, but down in the middle of it, there's a box. Put in your name. If your name is Joseph White or Samuel Long, anything that's a common name, you probably committed this crime in the eyes of the cross-check program. And I will credit Oregon Oregon quietly dropped out without a word. They just kind of like pulled away.
Well, you definitely have given me an opportunity to ask our Secretary of State why. Right? Because I want to know. Because what I find frightening about this is, once again, if an election is stolen in the U.S., we have to go to the BBC or we have to go to Al Jazeera. And we have to depend on you, Greg, to really be this outside eye on our election process. I mean, this is really frightening stuff. I mean, no wonder they don't care who the candidates are, because if you can just take the election through a fraudulent process like disenfranchising voters, and, who are the voters with the least power? Well, you take the African-American or Latino voters, you take the elderly voters. And in fact, I had a man earlier today say he never got his ballot. So you've got me a little nervous. Even in Oregon.
Happening, yeah. And this is the game that they're playing. And what's happening is then they send people. And the other thing is that, for example, this story broke big in Georgia. But your lamestream press, like the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, won't even run the story. And I found out why. Because these papers are calling the Secretary of State's office. Like in Georgia, where you have this rabid... Here in Georgia, I was in Georgia, where the Secretary of State had received from a minority voter drive 56,000 registration forms and didn't add any of the names on the voter rolls. They're just not on the voter rolls. Something I've complained about for years. People are signing up in registration drives, but their names are actually never being added. In California, 42% of... When the Republicans controlled the Secretary of State's office, 42% of the people that submitted registration forms never had their names added to the ballot. That was about 500,000 people. This is something I'm always warning people about. You register, you better check and make sure that your name is actually there.
That's right.
So this is the guy that basically threw in the dumpster 56,000 registrations. He has denied that he's removing people under this cross-check program. And so the newspapers saying, oh, well, that's fine.
We asked him. He said no. Right.
You know that not one American newspaper has actually come to me or one American TV network has come to me or Al Jazeera and said, can we look at those lists?
Right.
Not one. We've had stories. The Washington Post
this is unbelievable.
Ran a big piece about how wonderful this whole program is to look for double voters. We ran this expose. They didn't come back and they didn't look at the list. They just took the idea that, oh, yeah, yeah, we shouldn't have people voting double. I agree. But who are they going after? It's just like in Florida. I didn't think that people, you know, even though I think that no one should lose their vote because they were convicted of some, you know, having two joints in their pocket.
Right.
And lose your vote.
Right.
But that's the law in Florida. It's not the law, by the way, in Oregon.
Right.
But it's the law in Florida.
Right.
And so I don't believe people should break the law. But when I got the list, there were no felons on it. There were just a bunch of black guys
right.
with common names. Here, once again, it's a listing of common names. They claim that they use Social Security numbers, none. They claim that they check middle names, none. They claim that they check dates of birth, forget it. It's not even in the files.
Wow.
And here's one of my kickers. I went to one guy's house. It was Mark Antonio Hayes. And he was mixed with another guy named something like Mark James Hayes from another state. No middle name, but I just want to confirm that he hadn't voted twice. So I went right. to his house in East Durham in North Carolina. And his mother was very angry at him because he said, he didn't vote twice. He didn't vote once.
He didn't vote at all.
And here's he didn't vote at all. So then I looked at the records, and sure enough, right in the cross-check data files, there was his name, and it said, had a little note next to it, an I, it meant that he did not vote at all. So here in their own records, they showed he didn't vote at all, but they accuse him. He's marked down on the list of people who are voting twice.
Wow.
Okay, now
Greg, I have a question. Is this in the current election? You're talking about this is happening right now.
Right now.
As we are finishing up this general election cycle.
That's right. On Tuesday, the United States Senate is up for grabs.
Right.
And that's very interesting. This thing is coming out of Kansas, which has a super tight race for U.S. Senate. It's being used in Georgia, another super tight race for Senate. North Carolina, another tight race for Senate. Basically, in the battleground states, you're seeing this type of sick purge of so-called double voters. And it's being done unlike some of the other purges. This is being done silently. When I went to North Carolina, they were making a big deal. I told you how they had an FBI agent looking for the double voters.
Right.
He can't find them. I found them. They weren't double voters.
Right.
That's why I didn't arrest them, because this guy doesn't want to ruin his reputation. So he collects his weekly check and arrests no one.
Wow.
But in Georgia, I went down and I spoke to the leader of the Democratic Party and showed her the list. Stacey Abrams, an African-American woman. Because remember, most Democratic Party officials don't really care about this stuff
for reasons
that are complex. But Stacey Abrams was very upset seeing this list, because she was not told that the state of Georgia was actually purging people based on this sick list. Now, by the way, how they generate all these names? The answer is, literally, the only thing that matches people are the first and last name. If you have a match of first and last name, Jim, if your last name is Crow, Jim Crow, votes in two states, he's out.
Wow.
Just like, I'm looking at the list now. I'm just randomly. Lisa Lewis is tagged because she supposedly voted twice. She voted in Georgia and in Virginia, except that under the name Lisa Irene Lewis. It's just common names.
Wow.
Now, what is the purpose of just common names? The answer is, if you go to the U.S. Census, the chance that a Asian American, Hispanic, or African American has one of the 1,000 most common names in America is 80% higher than a white person having a common name. It is part of the history of slavery. You have literally nearly a million African Americans named Jackson.
Right.
And you have the name Washington. And believe it or not, 84% of the people named Rodriguez are Hispanic. Actually, what shocks me is that 16% of people named Rodriguez don't call themselves Hispanic. But that's the census. So if just so,
Greg, so I'm gonna pause you for a sec because we got a couple of callers lined up, and the story is so fascinating. I don't want to stop you, but I do want to give our listeners an opportunity. Hello, Greg. Welcome to KBOO. Red Willow. Welcome to KBOO.
Osio. Hello.
Hello.
I'm enjoying the conversation, but as I'm always solution minded, I'm wondering if in my own little way I could do this to help fix the situation. And that is to figure out how many votes, or maybe Chris knows this, I mean Greg knows this, that how many votes have been actually eliminated through these actions where people are not able to vote because of regulation. And that way, if I know how many, I could kind of figure out how many votes I need to go place to do my part to make it right.
Well, this is Greg Palast. You can get, by the way, if you go to gregpalast.com, you'll get all the links, or just go to aljazeera.com, and Al Jazeera America, and you can get the story. And by the way, again, tonight, part two on Al Jazeera tonight at 6 p.m. your time. If you want the numbers, remember, they wouldn't give us a list because they said it's all criminal stuff and we can't tell you anything.
Right.
So none of the states would tell us how many they removed, except for Virginia, which has already removed, get ready for this, 41,000 people from the voter rolls.
Wow.
Just the state of Virginia. And that's about 10% of their list. So if we look at about 10% of the list actually getting purged, we're looking at so far about, you know, something in the area of 300,000 to 400,000 people nationwide purged, and it's accelerating. It's going to actually be worse. It could affect the control of the U.S. Senate, but even more the presidential race in 2016, because a lot of states are doing this multi-step purge. In other words, they're not purging every name that they have, because they're saying, because a lot of people are saying, well, how do you know these people are double voters?
Right.
And the answer is, we don't have to worry about whether the list is sloppy, the mismatched middle name or any of that, because we're sending everyone a postcard. So the states are sending postcards out, and you got to see these postcards. If you go to aljazeera.com, you'll see the postcards, and they just look like junk mail. You know, it's from the state. It doesn't say you're about to lose your vote. It doesn't say you've been accused of voting in two different states. It just says, please verify your address, put in your resubmit your address and your name, and sign it and send it back. Now, if you don't sign it and send it back, or even more important, if the letter is undeliverable, in North Carolina, they'll take your name off. In Georgia, they mark you as something called inactive. And if you miss this Tuesday vote, because you missed the vote and you're already listed as inactive, you cannot vote in the presidential election.
You can't vote next election. Oh, wow.
That's right. So it's very subtle. And so not everyone. So in other words, it's very complex, very subtle how they take away your vote. In North Carolina, it's not too subtle. They just remove your vote if the card comes back. And here's the trick. Once again, because common names are associated with minorities in America, like I say, you're 80% more likely to have a common name if you're African American or Hispanic or Asian American. With addresses, poorer people are more likely to be renters or students,
right,
and who move more often. Now, you don't have to re-register if you are a renter and you move to a building down the street and you're still in the same district. You don't have to re-register, but the card won't find you. So they know this. So that, once again, they use things that they know are going to impact the minority and poor voter, low-income voter, more than the rich guy. You know, so we talked to actually big experts on mail and on junk mail, and they said, look, you're going to have 10 to 15% of this mail return, because also the states are notoriously bad at inputting your address. They get it wrong. They switch the numbers. Cards will come back. And the more people move, the less likely it is that they'll find you, and this is directly related to income, directly.
Right.
Renters move. People that have suburban houses keep them for 15, 20 years,
right,
and they don't move. So they know exactly who they're nailing with this process. They say, well, listen, there's no problem. People just have to sign the card, send it back. But no, you know what? If you rob a bank, they don't close your bank account. They arrest you. If people are voting double, you know, if people are voting double, arrest them.
Right.
But they're not arresting anyone because they know it's phony. So they're taking away their right to vote by the hundreds of thousands.
And, I mean, this is just so incredible because you're absolutely right. This sounds like a repeat of the 2000 election season. What do you suggest we do to actually raise awareness that this, in fact, is taking place right under our nose?
Two things. One of the most difficult things, remember, I am reporting from Al Jazeera,
right,
which gave me tremendous resources, experts, a whole team of people. I was given budgets to go around the country. I was given months to get these lists out. But, you know, I get, as you know, as usual, I get ignored. My reports get ignored by the lamestream press, usually for 2 years, about 2 years after I report a story, Joanne. You know, they always do Greg Palast reports about 2 years after I actually report the story. The felon purge of Florida,
right.
The New York Times finally reported on it 2 years after the fact. Mm. The Washington Post waited a couple months till the election was long gone. But that's unusual. Again, you know, the Washington Post praised this removal of double voters. They've never seen the list, and they've never asked before. They're not going to pick up the story.
Right.
So what we have to do is make, that's why we have KABU.
Yes.
That's why we have our own outlets. I will be on Democracy Now, et cetera. That's usually, you know, kind of the refugee center for serious investigative reporting.
That's absolutely
and
true.
And so the best thing you can do is grab the report from aljazeera.com. If you don't, if you can't find your way there, go to gregpalast.com and link through. Find the report and send it around. The most important thing we can do is spread the story so they can't stamp it out.
Yes.
We are having a tremendous problem, as usual, getting this into the mainstream press. And whereas this cross-check nonsense has been all over it, like I say, the Washington Post ran a laudatory article about it without having any idea how it actually operates, without having seen any list of double voters, without having any of the information. They just simply run, as usual, the press releases and the propaganda.
Right.
So, you know, gregpalast.com or aljazeera.com, watch the program tonight. And by the way, if you've got anything close to a common name, just write your name in. Halfway down the article, there's a box. Write your name in. It'll give you the names of all the other voters in Virginia and Georgia who are on the purge list and see if you're part of the problem.
So, Greg, I want you to know my husband did just that, and he found out that he is on the list with his name spelled totally different ways. And so what you're saying is absolutely true. The other thing I want to do, I don't know what you're doing the day after Election Day, Greg, but Lisa Loving and I are going to be doing a political perspective show that day. I'd love to be able to patch you in. We're going to be doing it from like 9 to 10. Love to be able to patch you in that day for some of your after election thoughts. Based on this information.
I'll probably be quite hungover, but I'll take a couple aspirin and face the music with you. Okay, we'll pick up the pieces.
Wonderful.
I'll be thrilled to do that.
Well, thank you so much, and I appreciate you coming on today because there's nothing like being pro-warned. I remember the last time it was really after the fact with Kathleen Harrison.
So
now you're out early. The information is public. The public has the information. The question is, what will we do with it? Thank you so much. I look forward to talking to you next week. This has been Greg Palast and Joanne Hardesty. This has been Voices from the Edge. See you next week. Same place, same time, same station. Have a great day.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Preacher man, don't tell me heaven is under the earth. I know you don't know why.
It is just a minute before 9 o'clock, and you are listening to the Mighty Boo KBOO Portland. Get up, stand up. Coming up in 1 hour, we'll hear Air Cascadia with cutting-edge news, views, and just plain horse sense with Chris Andre. Join us at 10:15. It'll be Flashpoints today, investigative news journalism with host Dennis Bernstein. Today, we'll hear more of Greg Pallas talking about the election. At 11 on Between the Covers, we'll hear host Leanne Krantz speak with theoretical cosmologist and lecturer in astrophysics Roberto Trotta, author of the new book, The Edge of the Sky. All you need to know about all there is. We will give away copies, a copy of the book at the end of the show, so do listen up. And at 11:30 on the Thursday morning radio zine, host Paul Rowland interviews Sar Naja, who plays the pioneering Nigerian musician and political activist Fela Kuti in the new documentary Finding Fela, which will premiere in Portland 1 week from today. That's all coming up, but join us next as we'll have... our special hour-long edition of all Perfogering show, Fight the Empire. That is coming up next, so stick around. That's coming up right here on KBOO.
Where is your radio dial on Thursday afternoons from noon until 2? 90.7 FM is the place to be. Twice a month, DJ Charlie presents the World Beat Connection with the hottest Afro-Caribbean sounds in Portland radio land. Reggae, salsa, soca, New Orleans Afro-funk, Haitian compa and rara, and Antillean zouk share the airwaves with African highlife, Afrobeat, Congolese soukous, Malian blues, juju, and South African kwaito, among the other great styles. Traditional and modern expressions are all included. On alternate weeks, check out Top Rank and Reggae and Dancehall with Shocks of Sheba show, hosted by Teresa and Michelle. Any week, Thursdays at noon is sure to move you.